Good morning. Hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host from the Dayton Daily News, as usual, Ron Rollins. And we are in the studio with a repeat guest and a colleague from our newsroom, Corey Froelich, who covers the city of Dayton.
Howdy. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing great. The other day I was reading the paper, and I think you had like three stories that were all, well, you usually have three stories, but there were three stories that were all based on some sort of form of new downtown development in some stage of either funding, consideration, financing, actual groundbreaking and construction. And I was thinking to myself, there's a lot going on downtown, and you usually are the guy on our staff who's writing about it, so we figured we'd bring in and talk about all that stuff today.
Sure. No, I mean, there's a lot of people in this. We have business reporters as well, of course, but there is so much
stuff. Oh, nobody reads those guys. They're friends of ours. Yeah. We can say that.
Oh, indeed. There's so much going on downtown. It's hard for just one reporter to cover. I mean, you're right. You know, in a single day, you'll have multiple announcements. Just earlier this week, I mean, we had announcement about state historic tax credits being awarded to two projects, one of which on East 3rd Street, which would be, you know, it'd be like a $24 million investment for two buildings, that would create a bunch of new housing and, you know, commercial space on the first floor of an area that's, you know, kind of sleepy right now.
Right. And two buildings that most people just maybe just drive right by without thinking there's much special to them.
Oh, it's, yeah.
The so-called fire blocks, right?
The fire blocks. That's right. Near the heart of downtown, just east of Main Street.
Down the street from the library, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got, you know, more than almost $4.5 million in state historic tax credits for this project. And, you know, obviously it's an early announcement. It's big. It's big that they got it. But, you know, it's still, it's got to happen, and there's been previous proposals for one of those buildings, and it had been awarded state historic tax credits and never moved forward. But
that's like a multi-use project. They want to do commercial, they want to do apartments, they want to do condos.
They want to do it all. I mean, they envision a very active kind of entertainment district, you know, something akin to the Oregon District that kind of essentially is an extension. Like, we have all these cool little pockets of stuff, the Oregon District, and then kind of the Webster Station area, but we need to kind of infill it.
Right.
And that's kind of what they're hoping to do, capitalize off of what's there.
And what's there is, like, it's right around the corner from the, like, row of the gay dance clubs there. Mask, Stage Door, MJ's, but then it's also the Century Bourbon Bar is down there. I mean, there's already some stuff happening there that they kind of want to build on, right?
Those developers in particular, they're members of a group called the Elway Group, and they just have scooped up so much downtown property. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
They bought the old Journal Herald building, which was...
Which used to be a nightclub, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be Hammer Jack's.
Right.
They bought a building just on South Main Street called the... I believe that's the Fidelity Building.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And, I mean, they've scooped up, and contract to buy more property on that 100 East 3rd Street. I mean, they're going to own most of the, square footage on 100 block of East 3rd.
And it's a company that's based here in town.
Uh-huh.
Do you get the sense in talking to them and reporting on them that they have kind of like a master plan for it all? Or are they going project by project? Or?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a vision.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely, they've been scooping up property, and every indication that they're going to continue to do that.
Yeah,
I think they're in talks to buy more stuff. So they're going to own a chunk of, eastern part of the Central Business District.
Right.
And they just, they feel like this is going to be a very active, vibrant part of downtown. They see this as a big opportunity. Can they do it? We will see.
That's true. It makes it more interesting for you no matter what happens.
Yes.
So, and you mentioned there were two projects the same day. The same day,
the
arcade got big news about historic credits, right?
That was recently. That was a little bit earlier this month. But no,
like I said, it's hard to keep track of.
I know.
There's so much stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. The same day, there was the urban, that U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development,
HUD,
had a press conference in West Dayton at the DeSoto Bass Housing Project.
Public Housing Project, yeah.
Where they awarded the, community a $1.5 million grant to kind of create a plan that reimagines West Dayton and the Hilltop Homes and the DeSoto Bass Projects, which, have struggled with crime, and it's, very concentrated poverty.
Right.
So they get this grant. And the idea is, figure out how you can kind of break up this concentrated poverty.
Right.
Replace DeSoto Bass with fewer units that are more spread out, and then try to, get some mixed income so it's not just all poverty.
Well, and then the new thinking on public housing is to make it more less kind of big concentrated blocks of the people think of as the projects than to sort of like go to more single family homes that are mm-hmm. kind of on their own little piece of property and stuff like that and kind of make it like a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. DeSoto Bass is the largest, you know, public housing projects remaining in Dayton.
There used to be lots of them.
Yeah, I understand. And it's just, the theory is that if you disperse these public housing, you know, throughout a community and have more interaction between people of different kind of socioeconomic standings, that they'll just be more successful. And
wait, that's diversity.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Yeah.
Actually, the evolution of the whole public housing idea has changed fairly rapidly since like, probably since the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Dayton used to have, that come to mind when I got here in 86, five or six really large public housing projects that were like constant, like they were kind of like people warehouses. It's like that, and it was, they were not places that philosophically worked out. So the government's kind of moving away from that. Dayton gets to benefit
from that. Yeah. I mean, so it was, you know, the announcement was kind of, it's good. It's good to be able to pay for a plan to come up with this whole different, you know, reinvented West Dayton area.
Right.
But what's really, you know, the larger goal is because they've been awarded this, that kind of makes you eligible and kind of puts you on this path to getting a larger grant, which would be, could be up to $30 million from HUD in a couple of years from now.
Wow,
and it just, I mean, you know, they would probably deconcentrate that public housing tomorrow if they could.
Right.
But, you know, they just don't have the money. They don't have the capital to do that. But if they get this $30 million HUD award, That's a big catalyst for doing it. And they imagine that, you know, it won't be them doing it alone. They'll have to be private and public investments as well. But $30 million in the West Dayton, an area that a lot of people perceive as being very neglected.
Right. Although, interestingly, one part of West Dayton that is kind of still making a lot of improvements is right Dunbar area along West 3rd there.
Yes.
I think there's a new restaurant that opened there this week. There's a barbershop opening. There's all kinds of little businesses. There's the Bing Davis's Gallery. There's the Wright Brothers Museum.
It's an adorable little area.
It is really very cool. And they're adding, you had a story, I believe, about apartment construction down there.
So the business you mentioned is a barbecue co-op. Right. It's beef and
Texas beef and cattle.
There you go.
That's right.
I've had friends go there, say it's delicious.
Yep, yep.
A barbershop's opening just a couple doors down. Mm-hmm. In that same block, the Wright Dunbar block, they've, you know, they created 10 affordable housing units, you know, a couple years ago, I think, 2014 perhaps. And then they've added 8 more this year.
That's cool.
So it's just affordable housing. But what they found was they had a lot of applicants who couldn't qualify for the housing because they made too much money.
So that tells you the kind of folks that are trying to move in. I mean, they're trying to really, it's a diversification of that part of town.
Absolutely. So they, you know, the Wright Dunbar district is looking at trying to create some market rate housing and how they plan to do that, you know, be able to fund what they think would probably be $1 million project would be get state historic tax credits, which you know, we can't get enough of those things because
we can't. Now, so explain to people how those work. So because they come up in a lot of your stories.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's a tricky concept. Yeah, but so it also seems to work.
Yes. I mean, so it's really a government investment in projects without having to give them money.
Right.
So, you know, they award tax credits. And those tax credits, you know, developers award them, and then they sell them to investors.
Okay.
And they probably sell it for 96 cents on the dollar. Mm-hmm. Investors are able to use that against their tax liability.
Right.
So it reduces their tax bill. And they give the funding up front, you know, they get the funding for these projects. So it's like a source of financing, really. It's kind of a, it would be hard to find, it reduces the cost of the projects.
Right.
And doing so makes them be able to be viable because otherwise just the cost of renovation would be probably too high.
And then against that, the developer can borrow more money, you know, using that as collateral. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the projects always are more than the tax credit.
Sure, but that's the seed money that gets it going.
Correct.
So back to the arcade.
Yeah.
Actually, before we get to the arcade, though, since we're on the periphery of downtown, we've mentioned Wright Dunbar and DeSoto Bass and West Dayton. You reported just earlier this week on the Warren Street condominiums, apartments there.
Yes.
That's a really interesting and semi-controversial development in South Park.
South Park had some concerns about the project. It's a mixed-use project that's planned for just north of the Brown Street business quarter. So it's like, you know, the idea is create this mixed-use housing that really creates a better connection between University of Dayton and downtown.
Right.
You know, developers want they wanted like a drive through and they wanted, you know, they wanted a lot of parking. Originally, the parking was supposed to be underground.
The businesses on the ground floor.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a four story. The first part of the project, there's going to be multiple parts.
Right.
But there is, the first part is a four story commercial building, or four story building with housing on the upper floors, 43 units, you know, market rate apartments, and then 10,500 square feet of commercial space on the first floor. Mm-hmm. Originally, they were going to put the parking underneath the building. But they found that there was, you know, they had a, I forget what it's called, but like a ditch underneath that just didn't allow it.
Right.
So then they had to rejigger the design, and the parking's kind of going to the north. They kind of changed the building. South Park didn't love the parking. They felt it was a bit excessive for an area that they want to be.
Right now it's green space.
They're just vacant lots.
Yeah.
They wanted just to be more walkable. They just wanted more pedestrian friendly, and they thought surface parking took away from that. And they also opposed a drive-through lane that's going to be attached to the, you know, there'll be one commercial tenant that benefits for the drive-through lane.
Right.
And they felt that was just a very suburban type of, you know, addition. They just felt like they didn't belong.
Didn't fit the neighborhood. However, the city has gone ahead and approved the plan.
They have, yes. So they've made some changes that alleviated, you know, they made some pedestrian safety measures, elevated sidewalk and lighting and signage and that kind of stuff. So the Dayton Board of Zoning Appeals approved the variances.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood wasn't super excited about that, but they said they want to keep working with the developer to make it very walkable. And the developer has a very kind of interesting plan for that. But yes, that would be great to connect it. You know, that area, a bunch of blighted homes have been demolished. There's been rehab of a lot of the homes.
Actually, that's why that street, that strip is green space.
Yeah.
It used to be blight, and it was torn down years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the sites that is, you know, targeted for development. There was that whole issue with the city where they accidentally gave it away for a little bit of time.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Clyburn Manor project.
I forgot about that.
Well, there was, so that was the whole site. It's been an interest. It's been a little bit of a drama over there.
So that's going to happen, it looks like.
And then
we should tell people what they're listening to. If you are just joining us, this is Miami Valley Voices. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. We're here with Corey Froelich, who is the Dayton City Beat reporter for the Dayton Daily News and all of our assorted websites and digital products. So you see his name everywhere associated with stories having to do with development projects in downtown Dayton, which is what we're updating ourselves on today. So we mentioned the arcade.
Absolutely.
Talk about the arcade.
There's probably very few projects are probably as exciting and, you know, much talked about as the arcade.
I mean, that's sentimental.
Very sentimental. And
very
And of course, there's some skepticism as well. I mean,
really?
Just a little bit. People have been, you know, discussing how to renovate that arcade or, you know, bring it back to life since
almost,
it was vacated in the 1990s.
Probably since you were in grade school, yeah. The arcade is this kind of, it's like this little heartbeat, you know, downtown. And when it's not beaten well, people are unhappy. And it is a sentimental, nostalgic attachment that people have to that place. Far beyond the building itself, I think.
Sure.
I think it's the people remember that they or their parents or them when they were little kids went there when they were little kids and they remember it fondly.
I mean, see the photos, it's unbelievable. There's nothing like it.
When I moved here in 86, it was on its second lease on life. And it was pretty lively. It was restaurants and eateries and shops, and it was pretty cool. And then I think that lasted about 10 years until it just finally shut down.
Yeah.
Which was a shame because it was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, people wanted to revitalize it, but, you know, all sorts of ideas, housing, light. Right. One idea was put the downtown library in it. I mean, there's a million proposals, but none of them really gained any momentum.
Until
the new development team, you know, it's primarily made up of a group out of Baltimore, Maryland, Cross Street Partners.
And they've done this kind of project before.
They have.
That's cool.
They have a pretty impressive resume. I mean,
who brought them in? Did the city wrangle them, or did Miller Valentine wrangle them, or did they just find us, or do we know?
They have some connections to the current property owner, Gunther Berg, and that group. Like, I think he knew somebody. He knew one of the investors.
Right.
I don't know exactly how they found out about it.
Okay, all right.
They seem very legit. I mean, they did the Under Arm headquarters down in Baltimore. But yes, I mean, their development plan, it's in phases, you know.
Yeah.
And the first phase got a giant boost recently with
the tax credits.
Yeah, they got they applied for about, you know, $10 million in low income housing tax credits, which would reduce the cost of the project.
Right.
But they also applied for like a special, you know, allocation as well, and they got it.
Wow.
I mean, the state was so impressed with their concept, which is, you know, start off with the first phase would be artist housing.
Mm-hmm.
The second phase would be kind of more of that, and then just kind of build from there. And, you know, I forget how many units exactly.
But they're kind of going building by building. I mean, a lot of people who've studied the arcade and read your stories know that it's not one big building. It's like six buildings.
Yeah, it's a bunch of interconnected
All
buildings.
Interconnected, sharing walls and stuff. And so their plan is to kind of go at it building by building.
Correct. There's two buildings.
Sort of moving into the middle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the first project, I think, would be like $15 million. So you create, you know, affordable housing for artists and creative types.
Right.
It would be involve two buildings, both on 4th Street. Mm-hmm. So one of them is like probably the tallest arcade building. It's 10 stories.
The old commercial building.
That's right.
That's right.
And then the building right next to it, which was the old apartments, I guess.
Yeah.
So they'll create 120-some units.
And then be like with studios and stuff like that?
Studios. And it's, you know, they'll have like a panel, so they interview people to get, know, to decide who can live there. And they have to have, you know, they can't have incomes beyond a certain threshold. It's really to kind of support a burgeoning art, maybe burgeoning is the wrong word, but our art community and people that have...
Well, we have a big one here. I mean, we really do. I mean, the cool thing about this project as somebody who kind of studies the local art community is there's really nothing like it. There's plenty of buildings around Dayton area that are based on studio space. Lots of them. Front Street's the one most people know about. But there's no place, other than the few people who are allegedly living in Front Street who aren't supposed to, there's no place that's designed like what they're planning. And it sounds kind of cool. I bet people will
be
really excited about it.
It's important to know, you know, I've had questions like, we have so many sculptors and, you know, fine painting.
There's a ton of artists.
Yes, it's artists. And, of course, you know.
And musicians.
Yeah, musicians and just creative types. If you do web design, if you do, you know. If you're a builder might even be a better word for it than artist.
Yeah,
I mean, a maker.
That's a very good idea, yeah. So that seems like that's going to move along.
You would hope so. I mean, they still want to go, there's still challenges.
Right.
Like, their financing package isn't complete yet. Like, they still want to pursue state tax credits, a couple million in those.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to at some point address a property tax bill that's like more than $520,000.
Now, does the county ever forgive those? I don't know how that would even
it
be
has
done.
To be or paid it, or it has to be addressed.
And right, some way, yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, I think there's...
I mean, the county may not be able to afford to just say, oh, yeah, $500,000, we don't need that.
Oh, yeah, we can just write that up. I mean, there's, you know, some possibility perhaps that it could go into the land bank and maybe kind of wipe clean the taxes that way. It's not clear. And
we haven't heard anything like that that we've reported on.
We have not. I mean, we haven't got anything definite, but if they wanted to get rid of the tax bill, that would probably
be a whole separate story.
Yeah, can't wait to write that story.
That'd be cool. Now, since we're near the arcade, there's a couple of projects like that are right in that neighborhood. There, there's the tallest one is the Grant Deneau Tower, the old Miami Valley Tower, as it were, right across 4th Street.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's right across from the arcade.
it's 23-story tower, old 1960s, brutalist construction and all that stuff.
That's right.
So, and it's mostly vacant now.
It's mostly vacant.
It wasn't for a long time. Miami Valley Hospital had some offices there for a long time, yeah.
Correct. There's a lot of interest in renovating that building. The owner wants to renovate it.
Yep.
And they want to renovate it because they think the arcade project's going to be big, and they think this is going to be a big catalyst for development downtown.
And the exterior of the building is still beautiful.
It
looks like it. They've kept the exterior. I haven't been inside, obviously, but the exterior is fabulous. It's been beautifully maintained.
Oh, no. I mean, they propose spending big amounts to renovate the building into very modern kind of offices. They're going to go for tax credit, state historic tax credits, because everybody does, because say that's really the only way to make some of these projects financially feasible.
Now, they got historic status on the National Register of Historic Places or something like that, didn't they?
Correct. Normally, a building has to be 50 years old for standard designation on the National Register of Historic Places, which makes you eligible for state and federal tax credits. The building's less than 50 years old, but they awarded it this designation because they said it's so special. We think it's worth saving. We think
architecturally significant. And all
absolutely,
that. It is the only building like it in Dayton. Definitely,
for
from
sure.
That from that time period of architectural, yeah. But that's cool. So it got that status, which means now they can apply for the tax credits.
Uh-huh. And I think they're going to be doing that probably in this upcoming round.
So that may happen. Now, across the catty corner, across the street from it, is the old Dayton Daily News building. Pardon me. Sorry, I spent 20 years in that building. So then, and the part where we actually used to work is gone now. Uh-huh. And people who've read your stories probably know more or less the story. It got knocked down, blah, blah, blah. Now it's kind of a sort of a jumble of rusty pipes and nasty dirt. What's happening with that?
The original, what a long
the original building is Dayton Daily News building is still standing, but everything around it from the 50s and 1970s was ripped.
Very small part of the story. Yeah, right. The old building, very small, is still on the site. Otherwise,
the idea was student housing at Sinclair.
It was supposed to be student housing. A group called Student Suites proposed a big complex to primarily serve students at Sinclair. They never got financing for the project. They blamed, they blamed the city's inability to get a HUD deed restriction off the property.
That's right.
To this day, I have no idea what exactly happened with the financing, but they didn't get it. They didn't move forward.
It evaporated.
And the person who did the demolition work for them said he was never paid. So then he sued Student Suites.
Okay.
And he, they came to an agreement where he'll drop the lawsuit, not move forward with it, in order to get the land. So now he's going to be the
owner of the property.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And I think, he's been in talks with the city to sell it to the city of Dayton, which has taken a little bit different. They have a new strategy to some downtown redevelopment, which is keep important properties out of the hands of, bad landlords.
Well, because they bought the old KeyBank /Society building across from Courthouse Square with the same idea. And that thing is
tall skyscraper.
Yeah, it's like 15 stories, and it's a really important, historic, prominent piece of downtown real estate.
Yeah.
And the city said, we want to hold on to that.
It was in the hands of, I can't even say his name, but it was...
the command, master commander.
Master commander, that's... It was in his hands, and he tried to get it, transferred to someone else. He had a restaurant down there.
Didn't work.
The cantina, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, but none of that worked, and he just had ownership of it, and the city spent about $500,000 to buy it in receivership.
So they own it now.
Yeah, city owns it. Wow. I think they're putting it in the land bank.
So the city's philosophy, like you said, has changed. They've decided rather than just sort of let some things drift, they're going to actually get in the driver's seat and actually make stuff happen.
They feel... It seems to be a strategic shift for sure. I mean, they feel like ownership is everything, control is everything. So they're buying things, they've gotten the decision to get actively involved with the arcade. Mm-hmm. It was kind of reflects that change in attitude. Yeah. And then buying that building, they bought a couple others, and it sounds like they're interested in the old Dayton Daily News property.
That's interesting. So now let's go way across downtown and some other stuff that's actually out of the ground and being sold, the Water Street development over by Fifth Third Field. I had a friend here in the newsroom, actually, who had just driven by it a couple days ago after having been reading the stories about it, but he hadn't been near it later on, and he came and he's like, holy cow, have you been over there? I'm like, yeah, I've got friends that are moving into that place. It's an amazing transformation.
It is so different over there.
It's fabulous. So tell people about that development.
I think the first batch of units opened up... maybe it was even last year. I can't keep track. But the rest will open up, are expected to open up by the end of the year.
And they're building a hotel.
They're building a hotel on a very, it's
very
amazing
tiny
they're
lot.
Wedging it into the space. If you've seen the office building, they have a really cool new office building.
Right PNC there. Has their headquarters there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. At Monument and I guess Patterson.
Yeah.
And
right by the bridge.
Right by the bridge. And right in front of that building is going to be where the hotel is, in that little parking lot. But they're gonna fit it in there. And
it's
going to
be 7-8 stories, something like that? Maybe taller,
It will be, yeah.
So they'll have a hotel there. There's going to be there's 100 condo and apartments all through there and a new office building. And then
there's going to, I think if I remember correctly, I think it's 215 in terms of 215 units, apartment units. Once those open up, that whole area is going to be so much more lively.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's going to be, on the first floor of the office, Water Street office building, they're going to have a new restaurant. They're going to have Basil's on the Market.
Oh, which is a Troy restaurant that's moving down a branch down here.
They're going to have a little patio area that overlooks the river. And
it's kind of interesting because we've... to sort of divide this conversation up, there's like all this activity, mostly residential, like around Fifth Third Field. Like if you go from Third and Main and divide downtown up into, say, quadrants maybe, that whole quadrant that goes from like kind of the St. Clair Lofts area and the library all the way over toward Water Street and the river, busy, tons of stuff, breweries and apartments and condos and reuse and blah, blah, blah. There's like four projects over there we haven't even mentioned.
Yeah.
And then that other quadrant that's down by the south of the arcade there, by the R.L. Dayton Daily News building, and not so much. So what's your sense on the distribution of all this stuff?
It's no man's land over there right now.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
It's such a dead part of the city, and that's what they're... And that's been Dayton's problem for a while, which is you have pockets of cool stuff, but then there's just a lot of blight in between.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, in that north... east corner of, you know, the central business district has seen all this activity.
Tons.
You just hope that spreads. You know, the projects we mentioned earlier about on East 3rd Street, the 100 block, I mean, that would help connect all the activity over there more into downtown, which has obviously some liveliness. But yeah, that Dayton Arcade area, that they need to reactivate that. I mean, you know, they hope these projects, I mean, the projects will be great if they work out to begin with. I mean, what they'll provide, the arcade and Grant Deneau Tower, modern office space and housing and all sorts of cool things.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, the idea is those projects will be catalysts that, you know, kind of support
other things.
Yeah, for further development. They're hoping some of that reactivation will occur if, you know, if you go down 4th Street, just past the arcade and you're going east.
Right.
They want, and Dave Hall Plaza, which is right north of the Crown Plaza. They want to build the pavilion.
Right, you know, music pavilion.
Yeah. You know, group is raising funds right now.
Actually, we had a couple of them on here about 4 weeks ago.
Really?
The Levitt Pavilion, yeah. And they feel like they're going to get it. They already had, like, the city kicked in money and the Levitt Pavilion people kicked in money. And they imagine it's going to be, like, a lively, free music joint on Dave Hall Plaza for all the festivals they currently have, and 60 nights of music a year. I mean, they're gonna like they're all in.
And if you look at
they're gonna raise like $2 million, and they act like they're gonna get it.
I would, I mean, they seem determined, and there's a lot of support. I mean, I know a lot of people care about that project. I mean, if you look at why the area in the northeast corner of the central business district is probably coming up so much is because. You know, you had the Dayton Dragons. You have something that's already there that's generating a lot of activity, bringing people down. I think the same theory is that you do a Levitt Pavilion, which has lots of shows throughout the summer.
And you get the same kind of effect.
You'll have the same effect. You just get people down there, and from there it'll kind of grow. And
that's pretty cool.
You know,
too much cool stuff to talk about in half an hour.
I know.
So, okay, it's kind of, will you come back in a couple months and update some more of this other stuff? Because meanwhile, we'll just keep ticking through your bylines.
Hey, please.
All right, that's good. Thanks for too much stuff to jam into half an hour. So much cool stuff going on downtown Dayton and in the environs around. Corey Froelich, the guy who writes about almost all of it for the Dayton Daily News and our various platforms and digital properties and whatnot, has been in the studio helping us talk about it. So we'll bring him back.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
You betcha.
A lot of fun.
Ron Rollins, and this is Miami Valley Voices. And this show is available on WHIO.com as a podcast. If you want to listen to it, you can find it there. And we will see you next Sunday. Have a great day.